Hey, it's Sam from the Not at the Dinner Table podcast. It's time for another edition of Local Government Wednesdays with Lan Farm from Local Government New Zealand and Environment Canterbury. This time we have a chat about the response of local governments to climate change. And stick around if you want to find out what council didn't sign a Local Government New Zealand declaration on climate change. So Local Government New Zealand released a position statement on climate change, which sort of laid out what they wanted communities to look like by the year 2050. I'm just wondering why you think it's important for local governments to have a clear stance on climate change.
Yeah, I've been really stoked to see the leadership coming out of local government when it comes to climate change. I must put that in context, though, and say so far, a lot of that is leadership without action yet.
So a lot of talk.
In saying that, there are some individuals and leaders and that kind of thing all trying to do the right thing, and that, like, I support that. And I do think until you're actually kind of in that arena, it's easy to kind of be like, oh, like, why aren't you guys doing something? When you're in the arena, I assure you, it's super frustrating, and you can see why it takes so long to do things.
So by having a stance on climate change, do you see that as local councils saying that they're willing to go through that long and drawn out process to actually make change happen?
Yeah. What local government basically went through, if I dare to try sum it up from my own perspective, is it was basically like, oh, climate change, what's this? And, you know, that inevitably came with some aspects of local government saying, first of all, either it's not our responsibility, or that's not even happening, that's a lie, you know. So that was kind of like the first, I think, conversation. Then it kind of progressed.
How long ago do you think that conversation was had?
Oh, not long ago. Honestly, 5 years, maybe.
Whoa.
Yeah. Then you had local government saying, actually, far out, climate change is massive, it's going to affect, like, the whole world. It's inescapable for all of our communities and everything we do. But I think what changed is basically what changed with the rest of kind of global consciousness. We sort of went from, oh, the environment's like a nice to have, to kind of like, oh shit, no, this is really like impacting like the whole of humanity / the Earth's existence. Then local government, you know, from my perspective, basically said, actually, we need to take a leadership role here. And they did things like the Leaders' Climate Declaration, which I think really helped because mayors and chairs signed it. And then it wasn't till the media picked it up and started contacting councils and saying, if you haven't signed it, why haven't you? That then a lot of people signed it. And there were only maybe a few that dug their heels in, maybe like, I think definitely one council on the West Coast.
Oh,
I don't know if they've since signed
it. Are we willing
it.
To name names?
I don't want to get it wrong. So if I knew it for sure, I would definitely say. But I'm not certain.
I had a look, and the council on the west coast of the South Island that did not sign was Westland District Council. So Local Government New Zealand said that they were wanting to see, by the year 2050, communities throughout New Zealand prospering environmentally, culturally, socially, and economically.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if you had some examples of what that looks like.
Just one example is here on Banks Peninsula, Te Pātaka o Rākau Hautū. Banks Peninsula has what's called jumped on board with the pest-free New Zealand thing. So we've got this really successful program run by 14 different agencies but led by Banks Peninsula Conservation Trust with Runanga and councils and everything. And we've got a plan to make Banks Peninsula predator-free by 2050. Now, what's key to that is they're focusing not just on the environmental aspect, but they're actually really focused on the community. They're trying to work with landowners to make sure that the economies of the land use of the landowners on Banks Peninsula is truly sustainable, not like buzzword sustainable, but actually sustainable, whether that be like ecotourism or honey or whatever.
You can get the community involved.
Community involved.
And they can kind of see firsthand what difference these changes mean.
And be part of it. and also thrive from it, whether that be like personally, spiritually, whatever your buzz is, and economically. Like, we can actually build our economies and our society to not only support and protect, but restore our environment.
So when it comes to the decisions that councils make, can you clarify the difference between decisions they make that try to mitigate the effects of climate change versus adapt to the effects of climate change?
Yeah, sure. I know, those are, I hate the jargon, eh? It's terrible.
Those seem to be the two key words that popped up in another one of the sort of reports that Local Government New Zealand put out.
Yeah. So mitigation basically means reducing the actual emissions that we emit. And then adaptation is actually adapting to the effects or the impacts of climate change.
So is adaptation almost accepting that in that part it's too late?
Yep.
We've got to kind of deal with it. And then mitigation is like, oh, we can still have a say in this.
Yeah. I see both, but I am very much in the mitigate where possible now, absolutely. Like, just total urgency there, because in 5 to 10 years, it will be too late. I really wish that was, like, not based on evidence. Like, I wish that was dramatic and kind of like, oh my gosh, we've got 5 to 10 years to save the world. Unfortunately, all the evidence says that is basically our situation. And the sooner, and that's why this COP conference, yeah, I don't know, people just call it the COP.
Yeah.
But I'd never even thought about what does it stand for until now. But anyway, that's why the COP coming up in Glasgow is so important, because, yeah, it genuinely is the collective world or collective government's way out of this mess or not.
Do you think that example of worldwide lockdowns due to COVID and yet our emissions only reducing by a fraction freak people out? In terms of if that's the scale of drastic change that happens and yet the impact is only that large.
Yeah.
Do you think that kind of made a lot of people feel a bit more hopeless?
Probably. Yeah, I think so. Like, I certainly felt pretty dejected hearing that. I think another way to look at it is you've probably heard about Earth Overshoot Day. And globally, Earth Overshoot Day, I think, is sometime in July. But I just heard...
So Overshoot Day being the day where we've used up all of Earth's resources for that year.
Yes.
And then from Overshoot Day to the end of the year is when we are basically stealing resources from future generations. Is that correct?
That is totally correct, okay. Yes. I know, it's that depressing. I just read the other day, though, that for New Zealand, it's actually in May?
No.
It's in May.
What?
We're that bad?
What are we doing between New Year's Day and May?
I know. So it's another way to paint the picture of how we're going about things is not cool and it's not okay. Because I don't care who you are, no one, I've never heard anyone who would be comfortable screwing up the future of their kids, grandkids, or future generations. Like, no one is cool with that, right? So we need to start acting like it. We need to stop with the sentiment. And you know, if we are going to be attached to that sentiment, then we actually just need to make it real. I don't have the answers, but I broadly understand the scale of change that is necessary, and I know that we're nowhere near that right now.
I think if people sitting here listening to this are thinking back over previous episodes, we started with three waters reforms, then freshwater management, and then the Resource Management Act reforms. They might be sitting there thinking, we've actually kind of been tiptoeing around climate change this whole time. So is it safe to say you would think that's the single biggest issue facing local government in New Zealand right now?
Absolutely. Unless, like, everything is impacted by this, like, umbrella issue of climate change. Like, people often think as climate change is an environmental issue, but it's as much a health issue, an economic issue, a social justice issue. Until we kind of can conceptually understand that and start building our legislation, our policies, our plans, our frameworks around that, we're just going to continue to like basically be in denial. So it's a big challenge. And I mean, like, people can see it as doom and gloom because I get it. I understand that. But also you can see it as
an opportunity.
An opportunity. It's an opportunity to, I think, come back. Like, we've sort of gone wayward in thinking that we can, like, escape things and not address them and be disconnected from each other and all of that stuff. And it's a way to kind of come back to what is actually real.
A product of the New Zealand Broadcasting School at Ata Institute of Canterbury.